You're listening to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. Richard's style is very unique, where he shares the message of the gospel unlike anyone else. It's real, refreshing, focused, and fun. Whether you find yourself in a good place, maybe in a difficult place, or possibly even in a very lonely place, let me encourage you that you've come to the right place. Now, if you're not able to stick around with us for all of today's talk, you can always listen to, download, and even share this entire message with a friend right from our website, richardellistalks.com. So, with today's talk, here's Richard Ellis.
I'll give you a new thing that hit me yesterday. I went to meet with a couple at lunch that I'm marrying in July. We went into this Dixie house over in Oaklawn somewhere, and there's three of us. The guys were waiting a second to be seated. And I don't know what came over me. I was just kind of in that groove. And he looked at me, and I've never said this, never thought this.
It must be a God thing. He said, "Do you have a smoking preference?" And I said, "Yes, Marlboro." So there's your new line if someone asks you in a restaurant. And no, I don't smoke Marlboros. Don't go off anywhere thinking that. And pray for the waitress who waited on me yesterday at the... She had been there about 3 days, and I kind of smelled that when I got to the table and knew something was up. So I looked down at my menu, and I looked up, and I said, "I have the all-you-can-eat popcorn shrimp, please." And she looked at the guy next to her who was helping her learn how to do this, and, "Sir, I don't think we have all-you-can-eat popcorn shrimp." I said, "I know. I'm from the home office. We're just checking things out here." Anyhow. All right. Here we go. Juan comes up to the Mexican border on his bicycle. He's got two large bags over his shoulders. The guard stops him and says, "What's in the bags?" "Sand," answers Juan. The guard says, "We'll just see about that. Get off the bike." The guard takes the bags, rips them apart, he empties them out, and finds nothing in them but sand. He detains Juan overnight and has the sand analyzed, only to discover that there's nothing but pure sand in the bags. The guard releases Juan, puts the sand into the new bags, hefts them onto the man's shoulders, lets him across the border. A week later, the same thing happens. The guard asks, "What have you got?" "Sand," says Juan. The guard does his thorough examination and discovers that the bag contains nothing but sand. He gives the sand back to Juan, and Juan crosses the border on his bicycle. This sequence of events is repeated every day for 3 years. Finally, Juan doesn't show up one day, and the guard meets him in the cantina in Mexico. "Hey, buddy," says the guard, "I know you're smuggling something. It's driving me crazy. It's all I think about. I can't sleep. Just between you and me, what are you smuggling?" Juan sips his beer and says, "Bicycles." So, all right. Enough fun already. All right, the title of today's message is just simply Stop. And if you've ever been in a situation with small children or somebody's doing something dangerous and you know they're about to get in trouble and you say, "Stop!" I mean, there's something powerful, at least at my house there is, about that word. Whether it's a child crossing a street and you know you can't get to them, and if the word doesn't work, they're in trouble. You can say stop. Usually someone doesn't, you know, if it's your husband who's pestering, your wife's trying to read or something, you know, stop it. Stop it. You know, it could get louder as you go, but it starts out with hand gestures and stop it. Stop. And then all of a sudden, stop it. You know, it can get pretty adamant. But it's a powerful word. And it's in the scriptures in a number of places. It's not S-T-O-P. There are different words that are used in the scriptures to portray this. But this is what I always, at least most of the time, try to stress to people, is that when you're reading the scriptures, I'm not saying stop, but every once in a while you got to stop or at least slow down and ask yourself, what is this word in here for? What does this mean, where it is in this context? Because we just blow through it and try to get the general meaning of the passage maybe instead of saying, "Okay, God, what are you saying here?" Now, let me read you a few places here where this word is used and see if it makes a little more sense. Proverbs 19:27 has a little bit different twist on this. He says, "Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge." Now, stopping there is a negative thing. He says, if you stop listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. You got to keep listening. Don't stop there then, listening to the word of knowledge to instructions, especially godly instructions. In Proverbs 23, 4 to 5, now listen to this one. And this applies to anybody in business at all, working anywhere. Proverbs 23, 4, do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, cease. And it's got an exclamation point in my book. Stop. Do not overwork to be rich. Because of your own understanding, stop. Cease. Now, this is a hard one to get people to do. Because you get going and blowing. If you work in a fast-paced, intense, high-expectation office where people are showing up at 7 in the morning, leaving at 7 at night, and you leave at 6 o'clock and they think you're a lazy bum, you know what I'm talking about. And you've got kids to go home and feed. You've got a life, or you had one until you took this job. Now, I'm not saying don't work hard, guys, but you've got to stop. You've got to have some limits on your life or you will lose it. And I can assure you the day that comes along when you can't do it anymore and you stop and they let you go, you know what? They will put somebody right on your set of oars and they'll clamp their padlocks on them and say, beat that drum, and somebody will keep pace. So you got to make some decisions. I talked to a girl this week. I won't tell you the whole story, but she got off the train and some things happened where she was able, she just said, you know what? I'm not going back in this rat race. And I'm not saying everybody quit their job, but you got to get a life. And you say, well, I got to make a living. Well, let me ask you what a living is. A lot of times what happens to us is we go out and buy a bunch of stuff and we have payment books screaming at us. And now overtime and this work thing is not really to work at all. It's to feed this monster that we've given birth to of debt. And you just never can get out of it. You say, well, I can't quit. Now, that's no way to work. What kind of motivation is that? There's not a lot of joy in work if every day you get up, you're going not even to take care of yourself. It's to feed this thing. And you talk to people going out and bought new cars. The phrase is upside down in their cars. Because if they trade it in or try to sell it, they owe more. You know, anybody, maybe you've met people that experienced this, but you can share some of this with them if it applies to them. Do not overwork to be rich because of your own understanding. Cease. Will you set your eyes on that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away like an eagle toward heaven. And what is so amazing is if you take the world's way and you chase after riches and you don't stop and say, what am I doing? It literally says here, it just somehow gets wings and flies away. And all this money you've accumulated in a day. I mean, these people that are, and guys, don't get me wrong. I know we got single moms out here who have to bust it to stay alive. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about couples and people who are busting it, two or three jobs, paying to catch up with their debt and to keep up with some neighbor they never even introduced themselves to. Well, they got a new Suburban. We better get us a new truck. I'm not driving this heap with them having that, you know. So now you're racing against something. It doesn't even exist. It's just lies. And God says, do the right thing with your money, what I'm telling you to do with it, and I'll open the windows of heaven. So in one category, it's famine. It's just constant stress. And God's way, he says, you know what? You handle my money the way I tell you to. I'll tell you how you can handle the rest of it. And I'll open the windows of heaven. You'll have stuff coming out of nowhere. Now, guys, I've never had that happen to me. Try doing it God's way. I got story after story after story of stuff that is absolutely impossible that's happened to me, for one thing, and people around me. This girl I was talking about that I talked to who, you know, just said, I'm not doing this anymore. I'm not giving my life to this. Her supervisor sat her down and said, you don't enjoy doing this, do you? And she was working hard, making her quota, and finally the girl looked and says, you know what, I really don't. And I've been doing this all these years. She wants to teach her something. Well, who's going to be impressed with a teacher? You know what, I am. They may not be getting rich, but they're raising our kids. They're out there doing something, making a sacrifice. So she may not have this glamorous, high-powered job. She may do something else. But she's sitting in this meeting, and this woman says, okay, you're honest. You know, this is not what you want to be doing. She was 2 weeks from vesting in this company and getting a ton of stock options that would have added up to multiple thousands upon thousands of dollars. But she did the right thing and she quit because that's what God told her to do. Her supervisor sat down with her supervisor and they figured out she had 3.5 weeks of vacation
and that she could still be employed, and they vested her anyway.
Now, if you don't think that's a confirmation to her that when God said stop, she stopped. Now, see, this is where we get in trouble. Now, listen close. You may check out and may have to run. I don't know what you're doing, but listen to this. If you are walking along in your life and you claim to know God and follow God and you take a step and you take another step and nothing's said and you're just walking along and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit says stop, you better stop right there or you're in trouble. And he speaks to us. We're walking. He speaks, says, stop. We go, I wonder who that was. And you walk off a cliff or into a situation. I mean, you talk to couples who are dating. They get somewhere, like I say, with a couch and a Blockbuster movie. And, you know, the Holy Spirit says, okay, the movie's okay. The couch is nice. Stop. This is it. And they go, could you turn the movie up a minute? I can't hear the movie. I'm hearing voices, you know. Something to distract, or you just try to block it out. La, 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 la. Put your fingers in your ear. I can't hear you, you know. And we try to drown out the voice of God. He's not trying to be mean. He knows what's coming. I think one of the reasons God gives us kids is to show us what it's like with us. See, we stand around our houses over our kids going, well, this stupid child. I told you to stop, you know? And we get all over them because they won't obey us. And we get frustrated, and this child looks at us. I mean, I've got one at home now, a two-year-old, just give you some look and walk off. Now, she didn't walk off too many times because I have other ways of stopping her. And when that pain comes along, the word stop, all that starts to coordinate, and she thinks, ooh, I don't think I want to go anymore because not stopping is very painful. But we look at these kids and we say, stop, and they don't stop. And God goes, well, isn't that interesting? I'm having the same problem with you. See, we're just little kids in bigger bodies that should know better and don't. And God says, slow down. We say, let me get right back to you. I got to run do this. He says, stop. He says, slow, whatever he says, and we don't respond to it. And we go, how did I get in this fix? God, where are you? All these people that are complaining, God, why have you done this to me? You get in a dealership, brand new car out there, you're depressed, think buying a new car is going to be it, and they got you in a room, you know, this little room. You know, there's not even room for this salesman. He has to put his head in the hole. And I'll be right back. I'm going to go talk to my manager. I'll be right back. And if you follow him back to the manager's office, he's got a big old knife going this. You know, he's about to come here and chop your head off. They're making you a deal. And all of a sudden, you're in there, and you know, you're in a tiny space. I don't know why they do this to you. You're trapped. And the Holy Spirit hadn't left you, and he's sitting there going, you know what? Get out of here. Stop. Don't sign this. Don't get sucked into this. And you get afraid, more afraid of them than God himself. And you make stupid decisions and you wonder how you got into it. Now, I'm not saying, you say, well, I feel like an idiot now. You know, I've done all these stupid things and you're just making me feel bad. Look back, learn from it, but stop. Now, this happens to me. Is it just me or is it every day I get a new credit card application? I mean, they package these things, your college you went to, got them sending them to you. They're all from somewhere in Delaware. What are these people in Delaware doing? Now, let me tell you where the devil will hit you on this one. You're under pressure, you're under stress, and you owe money. And that credit card thing comes in and it hits everybody in the room that gets them if you're in trouble. And you think, well, I know what I'll do. I'll sign me up a new one and move all this over here. And you start moving and kiting and juggling money. And the Holy Spirit says, stop. Don't charge anything else. Stop. Cut them up. Do whatever you have to do. Stop this insanity. You say, it's going to be too painful. Let me tell you something. The pain that's coming is unbelievable stress if you don't stop. All right, here's another one in Isaiah 1. Isaiah chapter 1. And it's in verse 16. You read the rest of it later. He says, wash your hands, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Stop doing the wrong thing. This is no-brainer stuff. And you get in a situation and you know something's wrong and you go to do it. God just says, look, stop this. You say, well, I can't stop. He says, I know you can't stop without me, so trust me to help you stop. I don't usually share this, but I'll share this. A lady that I've known for a long time is trying to quit smoking. And I told her a few months ago, it's just where God has her. It hadn't been an issue till now. There are other things God's been working on, and the Holy Spirit knows the right time for everything. And now that's where she is, and she can't quit smoking. And I told her, I said, I'll tell you what, I don't believe you'll ever break this without fasting about it. And I got, if you want to read that, Isaiah 58, I'll back it up in there. There's some stuff, nothing will break the fasting. And I said, I'll fast with you. You tell me the day you're ready to quit, and I'll fast with you. See, guys, it's going to cost you, too, to help somebody else stop sometimes. And I called her and talked to her that day. I mean, it's sweat and bullets. She said, why don't you just quit smoking? Well, then why don't you just quit what you're doing? See, everybody stopping what you don't do is easy. Let's peel back your, you know, deal and look in there and say, well, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Well, I can't stop. Stop. And if you can't, tell somebody you can't and get some help. Maybe ask somebody to pray with you and fast with you if you got to, but stop. I mean, or it's just going to wreck your life. Read the rest of Isaiah 1. There's some more in there about that. All right, let me skip down to where I really want to spend a few minutes before we go. 1 Peter 4. Listen to this. Therefore, verse 1, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, okay? Physically, he suffered in the flesh. Arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Now, I want you to think this through with me. And let's go back to the cigarette thing that she was struggling with. Your body says, if it's cigarettes, alcohol, sex, whatever your deal is, your body says, I have got to have a cigarette. Anybody that used to smoke, doesn't smoke anymore, raise your hand. They're all like this. I don't anymore. They all got two fingers up in the air like they, anyhow. You know what, if I go around the room and talk to those people, some of them say I was just delivered just like that and it was over. But some people, guys, it is painful. It is suffering. Because your body has gotten used to something, some sin, some chemical, something, and it's got to have it. And if you don't give it what it wants, you know what it does? It screams at you. If your deal's food and you say, no, we're not going to eat certain things or that much anymore, your body screams at you, says, hey, what's wrong? You know, we got a quota here. Let's, you know, load it up. We didn't come to all you can eat for nothing. So now track with me. You decide to stop, you're going to suffer. Or it wouldn't be so hard to stop. And your body, the devil, everything will be screaming. Because they've had you doing this thing forever. You say, I can't stop. Let me tell you something. You can't, but with him you can. But you're going to have to say to him, Father, I can't do this. I cannot stop. I've proven it too many times and I need your help. You've got to, what he says here, is arm yourselves with a mind to suffer. You've got to get it in your head that you're going to suffer like he suffered. There's a passage in Hebrews, I think it's 5:8, and it simply says, it's talking about Jesus. He learned obedience. The phrase is, he learned obedience through the things that he suffered. Jesus learned obedience through the things that he suffered. How else are you going to learn it? All right, so here's the deal. Your deal, let's say it's, we've got cigarettes. Your body says, I got to have a cigarette. You even find a pack and you're shaking, you know. And you pack that thing out of there and get it up in your mouth and say, oh, Lord, help me. I'm going to light this thing and be on fire. You know, I'm... Now, see, if you don't smoke, you're laughing. But somebody, I got people in my church that are crack addicts. A guy after church of the day walked out with a month token. Pulled it out of his pocket and said, I'm glad to be here. I really feel at home. I'm comfortable. And he showed me that. You know what? That's a 10-year mark. A month not smoking crack cocaine to me is like 10 years anybody else. Smoking, alcohol, whatever your deal is. Those guys don't take it one day at a time. They take it 1 hour at a time. And it is painful because your body says, I'm going to kill you. We're going to die if you don't do this for me. So you got to get a mind to suffer and say, Father, I know it's coming. I know it's going to be painful, but I want you more than I want this. So when it comes, I'm going to say no to it and I'm going to ride this pain until it's gone and until I'm free from this. Like as I'm reading it right out of the book. Arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. If you'll allow yourself to suffer, you'll stop sinning. Because you'll realize this pain is not worth the sin, and if it's that painful, I got to get away from this. You let yourself suffer, you'll stop sinning. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. You've got to decide what you want. Do you want what you want when you want it and the pain that comes with that? Or do you want what God wants when he wants it and the satisfaction, the joy that comes with that? I got girls that I talk to. You know what? Some of them haven't had sex for a year with anybody. They're not married. Now, some of them are married, too, and I'm not talking about that, but that's a whole other problem. Girls who have said, you know what? I'm not married or not married anymore. I'm going to do the right thing. And their year marks come. One girl the other day, 4 years. You say, well, she's crazy. You know what? No, she's pure. And when it does happen, it's going to be awesome because she has waited and she's doing it God's way. And you say, well, she had sex before that. You know what? I can't change that. But I tell you what, if I'm a guy and I meet a girl and she says, I'm trying to do the right thing, trying's one thing. 4 years tells me something. Now, is that easy? No, it's not easy. Does she get lonely? Probably so. You want somebody to hold you? Sure. And if you've been there, you want to go back there and you can get hit even harder because you've experienced something you know would be a great thing even if for a moment. But you make a decision and you suffer. But it's worth it because you end up doing the will of God, not the lusts of men. For we have spent enough, look at verse 3, for we have spent enough of our past lifetime doing the will of the Gentiles when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. Let me flip over here and read verse 4. In regard to these things, they think it's strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. And if you do the right thing and suffer, you know what? You're going to have people around you. It literally says these people are going to think it's strange. You do not run with them anymore. Aren't you going with us? We're going to party. Don't miss this bachelorette party or bachelor party. I'll pass. And they're going to think it's strange you don't run with them, and they're going to speak evil of you. You're going to suffer. You're going to suffer physically if you choose not to sin, and you're going to suffer socially. And you may end up with some new, quote unquote, friends. I'll tell you who your friends are. Friends are people that are your friends if you're a Christian or not a Christian. People start picking you over your spirituality, you're in trouble. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason, the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to the men in the flesh, but live according to God in the Spirit. And you can read 1 Peter 4, I recommend. It talks about this, about where you were and where you are.
Richard will be back in a moment to wrap up today's talk. But first, I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. Let's be honest. Real life isn't about living some highlight reel for others to see. Most people have deep hurts, questions, and struggles. Well, we get it, and we want to help you in any way we can. So let's keep this conversation going. You can give us a call anytime at 855-6-RICHARD or connect with us at our website, richardellistalks.com. You can even put in your prayer request right there on the prayer wall. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD or online at richardellistalks.com. And now let's get back to Richard with a final word on today's show.
It's time to stop. If you ever get to the place where you're listening and where you're hearing, I'm not telling you this is going to be easy. And if you watch a little child who's about to go do something they really want to do and you say stop, they scream, they cry, they go crazy. You know what? We do the same thing. Until that child figures out, when my daddy says stop, it's to protect me. And then they stop complaining. And they turn around and see your eyes and go, you know what? I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to keep you from something. So when God says to you, stop, and I'm telling you guys, it's all day long. It's the second piece of pie. You have a piece of pie, there's nothing wrong with that. I believe I'll have another piece of pie. The Holy Spirit says, I believe we won't. That one piece was just fine for me. So you got to decide, am I willing to say no to a second piece of pie and obey and do God's will instead of your own will? Now, this isn't legalistic, guys. This is relationship. This is all day long listening, saying, Father, I want your will, not my will, to be done. Talk to me. And he says, okay, let's go. And you drive with some directions written down, but beyond these directions, you drive with a headset, a prayer headset. And the Holy Spirit says, stop, turn, go, yield, whatever it is. And you can't imagine how easy it is to live this way if you'll just do it.
Thanks for listening today to Richard Ellis Talks. We're confident that the program blessed you, and we want to hear about it. One way is to give us a call and let us know. The number is 855-6-RICHARD. Another way is to drop us an email. Jump on over to our website, richardellistalks.com, and click on the Connect tab at the top. We'd love to hear from you. And while you're there at the website, there's a ton of great stuff there just for you. Things like all of the talks from Richard, a prayer wall where you can leave your prayer request, and a whole lot more. Check it out, richardellistalks.com. Finally, we love doing this program for you, but we're so grateful when you hop on board to help us with the cost. Call us at 855-6-RICHARD, or you can contribute through the website. It's easy and much appreciated. 855-6-RICHARD or richardellistalks.com. Until next time, God bless you, and thanks for listening to Richard Ellis Talks.